Thank you, brother, for ministering to us through those stories and through music this morning. Praise the Lord and good morning. I'm glad that the Lord has given me another opportunity to be with you this morning, to remember and to worship the Lord and also to share God's precious word with you. Last month, the Lord gave me the honor and privilege of going to Ireland and different parts of UK to minister the word of God. And the ministries and meetings in the Irish assemblies were a great blessing. But more than that, I had the primary purpose of the visit was to conduct evangelistic meetings and to personally talk in home Bible study groups among the Asian immigrants in the city of Dublin, Ireland. There are so many young couples who have migrated from India and other parts of Asia, mainly nurses in Ireland now, and some of our assembly believers from India have organized various Bible study groups to reach out to them and to help them because they are coming there for the first time. They need to find an apartment and they need to find a job and they need to settle in. So they have been helping many of them and they have made good contacts with several families. And we have a number of Bible studies going in different homes in the city of Dublin. Unbelievably amazing that almost every day for 2 weeks, every night, and also most of the daytime, I had the opportunity to lead evangelistic Bible studies sharing the gospel. And it is a joy to know that some of them have really come to know the Lord. Some of them have received assurance of salvation. Some of them have been taught in the deeper things of Christian life, security of salvation, about baptism, about the Lord's Supper. And many of them came with me to the Irish Assembly to attend our meetings even on Sundays. And some of them have shown interest of coming back. So it was a very productive and fruitful time, and pray that both the Irish assemblies and the new immigrant families may be able to carry on that tremendous work, a wonderful opening there. So that has been a matter for praise, and I thank you for your prayers. 10 days from today, God willing, that is on 30th of September, I will be traveling to Doha in the Middle East, that is the state of Qatar, or Qatar, as the local people would say. If you are not very familiar with the state of Qatar, it was from there all the major military operations against Iraq and Saddam Hussein were carried out. That means that is one of the largest military bases of the United States Army and Air Force in the Middle East today. We have so many people from different parts of the world working there as expatriates, and so many from India, from Philippines, from Singapore. And we have few assemblies there, so I'm going at their invitation to conduct some meetings among them. We do not have any freedom to go out and preach or to meet with people, but they have allowed church compounds today. Church compounds where you can meet, where you can worship, and where you can preach. And they do not allow any religious or spiritual activities outside the church compound, and speaking anything about Christianity to a Muslim is prohibited, 100% prohibited. But there are personal contacts, you know, that are being made every day, even with Muslims, people of various faiths. And if you are interested to come, you can come to the church compound. The problem happens only if somebody betrays them or reports to the government that these people are inviting people to come to the church compound. So it is primarily meeting for the believers there to encourage them. But at the same time, there are, you know, different mysterious opportunities the Lord provides there every day to meet with someone, to invite someone to the meeting. If I ask an Indian to come, probably nobody would know, and that's not a problem, you know. So like that, there are several opportunities, so I would be there for 3 weeks, and I would appreciate your special prayers for that. And one of the great prayer items is, again, Kenya and Tanzania, East Africa. I'm praying that I would be able to go in December, primarily to Tanzania this time, and maybe little bit time in Kenya, but primarily to Tanzania, and also to start a new assembly work in Malawi. Malawi is a very poor country, bordering Tanzania, and the Malawians has been pleading our small group of believers in Tanzania and the missionary couple to come there and to start an assembly work. The missionary couple in Tanzania would probably go and visit Malawi to spy the land before I reach. And if everything works out, the plan is that when I go there in December, we go there as a group, maybe 4 or 5 or 6, and then stay there a couple of days or even more, and then start the first assembly meeting. So there are so many challenges, so many difficulties. It is not a place where we are excited to go. So you know what I mean by that. So I would definitely appreciate your prayers, and I'm praying that the Lord may take care of that from the beginning till the end. And as a result of this trip, an assembly testimony in Malawi would be established. So those are some very special prayer request, and I appreciate your continual prayers for the various ministries in which we have been involved. And I also assure my prayer support for you and the ministry which you are carrying out for the praise and glory of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. This morning I would like to speak to you on my Father's names, the names of God in the Scripture. It is not a very difficult subject or topic. It is not very theological. It is very devotional, very heartwarming. And for the last more than 2 months in my travels and in my personal devotion, this is what I have been studying and reading and taking down some notes and reflecting upon these truths every day. And it has come as a tremendous resource of encouragement for my own Christian life. So that is what I would like to share with you this morning. And we have so many things which we can study about the names of God. My Father's names, the names of God revealed in the Scriptures. Now, how can two persons really get to know? The first question asked is, what's your name? Now, even if we spend 5 or 6 hours together talking and exchanging ideas, without knowing each other's names, we cannot go further in our relationship and in our communication and in our friendship. Names are so intertwined with personalities, and only those who know our name can truly understand us and establish a relationship with us. So when we greet and when we shake hands, the first thing is, what's your name? So in the same way in the Bible, you know, we know that in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, God has revealed Himself in various names. For example, Jehovah is one of the names of God in the Old Testament. Another name of God is the majestic, omnipotent creator God, Elohim. Another name which we know is the name Adonai, Master, Lord. There are so many other names, compound names, you know, the primary names and compound names like El Shaddai, El Elohim, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, God my banner. See, look at all the names of God. So many names, and it is such a fascinating study. And in all these names, through all these names, God has revealed His nature and His attributes, His perfections, His character to us. Now, our name does not really reflect our character, you know. In some families, we name our children so that there should be some alliterations, like if we started with B, then all the names should start with B. And in India, people are so fascinated with that. Sometimes they combine, you know, the names of the husband and wives, and, you know, and then their where first child is named, you know, from the names of, reflecting the names of his or her father and mother. And it does not reflect the character of a person. But in the ancient world and in biblical history also, you know, the names reflected the character of the person. And it is in that sense that in the Word of God, God also reveals himself in various names. And I have taught it this way that we struggle to understand God and his ways many times. We know God is there. We know that he cares for us. He is our Savior. He loves us. But in the darkness of life and in the trials and in the problems of life, we cannot really see him. And then doubt and fear come into our mind. And then when we go to the Word of God, the flashes of light reveal who our God is, that I don't have to be upset. I don't have to be, you know, really frustrated or disappointed, because God is a forgiving God. God is a gracious God. God is my Savior. God is the one who sent his only begotten Son for me, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he took my sin upon himself and died for me. God so loved me that he saved me, that he was willing to give the blood of his Son for my salvation. So those flashes of light about God's names and what he has done, about the titles of God, it reveals his character and his works. Let us first read a beautiful verse which I can think from the scripture by way of introduction. This is more of a topical study, so we may have to refer to several verses. Like, we will start from Proverbs chapter 18. Now, this is one of the very beautiful verses in the scripture which I can think of when I think about the importance, the significance of the names of God, my Father's names. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. I'm reading from the New King James Translation. Proverbs 18, verse 10, we read, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower," or a mighty tower. "The righteous run into it and are safe." The name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower, and the righteous can run into that name. What do we mean by running into a name? Running into a building, running into a fortress, running to a shelter, we know. But running into a name means all that name represents, all that name stands for, all that name reveals. And when we run into that name, we are safe. Have you run into that name? The name Jesus, which means Savior. Have you run into that name? The most important name for our Savior in the history of the world, in world history, and above all in the scriptures, that very simple name. Jesus means Savior, one who saves us from my sin. If I have to run into the name of God, it is unto that name that I need to run first. Jesus, he being my Savior, knowing him as my Savior and establishing that basic family relationship with him. And all the other things, church, fellowship, breaking of bread, worship, fellowship, Bible study, all these things come after that. It follows that. But the primary thing is, the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. And one of the very basic names in the New Testament for our Savior is Jesus. Savior. And I hope and pray that each one of us have the confidence, the conviction, and the assurance, not just a feeling, that, Lord, whatever be my spiritual condition this morning, I know I am not perfect, I am hurting, I have fallen, I have sinned, I have backslidden, but Lord, I know that I have run into the name of Jesus, and I have trusted him as my Savior. And I have hope. I have redemption. I have a second chance and I can come back. And if you have never done that, my friend, the name of Jesus, Savior, run into that name this morning. Again, another opportunity in our life to run into that name. So, that is a beautiful verse. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. Another beautiful verse is Psalm. A few pages if you turn back. Psalm 8 and verse 1. Now, some of us may have different translations, so it may read a little bit differently. Psalm 8, verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic or how excellent is thy name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic, how excellent, how glorious is thy name in all the earth. The psalmist is celebrating the glories of the name. See, in the Bible, look at the way the authors of the books of the Bible have used the names of the of God. Lord, our Lord. How excellent, how majestic, how profound is your name means all the things that are contained in those names about your character, about your majesty, about your awesomeness, about your holiness, about your wrath, about your judgment, about your mercies, about your kindness. All those things are enveloped in the glorious names of God in the Bible. How excellent they are. That is what the psalmist tells. And in that great prayer, we don't have to turn there. I believe all of us know the third reference, Matthew 6:9. The Lord Jesus Christ taught the disciples to pray that beautiful prayer, a blueprint for prayer. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the Lord Jesus Christ, when he taught his disciples to pray, that is where he started the prayer, in acknowledging the glory of the name of the Lord. Hallowed be thy name. So, we looked at three passages, you know, by way of introduction. Easy to remember. Proverbs 18:10, Psalm 8:1, and Matthew 6:9 tell some glorious truths about the names of God. What is the purpose of the names of God? Or the purposes, why there are different names for God in the Bible? What is the basic purpose of it? And I believe we can find at least three purposes for the various names of God in the Bible. Number one, which I have already touched upon. Number one, it is revelational. It reveals God's character and tells us who He is so that we can gain insight into His nature. The names of God reveal His character. And it tells who He is and how He works in the universe, how He works in His in our lives, and He reveals by a name to us His character and His person. In many instances in the Old Testament, God revealed Himself by a name that was appropriate to the situation. For example, Abraham took his son Isaac, you know, to offer him as a burnt offering before God. He was willing to go that extra mile in his obedience and in his discipleship and commitment to God. And Abraham was 100% willing to offer up his son Isaac. And as he laid Isaac on the altar and took the knife, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and we know the rest of the story. And there we read, Abraham gave a new name to God, Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Now, how did he get that idea? Because God revealed by a name that was appropriate to the situation. I do not exactly know the situation in which you are, my friend. But if you look into His Word, if you love the Lord, if you follow Him, He will reveal Himself to you in His comfort and in His grace and in His love and mercy through a name that is appropriate to your life situation. The world cannot do that. No one else can do that. These are the things only which the Lord can do for me. Now, that thought was in my mind, when I came here this morning and listened to the meditations and listened to the hymns which we were singing and praising God. And I believe I accord that in my thanksgiving and worship. You know, the only thing what others cannot do for us is nobody else can forgive my sins. You can love me. You can help me. You can support me. You can be kind to me. You can be gracious to me. I can be to you. But the guilt and misery and the sin, to thee and to thee alone have I sinned, David cried. And God is the only one who can take care of that problem. You know, when people sin, we call that sometimes not sin. We have so many other names now in contemporary vocabulary, you know. And we go to seek help from others, counseling and medical help and all those things. And in certain situations, those things are needed. No doubt about that. I'm not minimizing the importance of it. But the real sin, the real misery and the guilt, only He can take care of that through the shed blood on the cross of Calvary. For my past sin and for my present sin and my future sin. The only thing that can atone for it is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in whatever situation we are in, God reveals to us Himself, you know, through appropriate names. So, one of the purposes of the study of the names of God, or one of the purposes of the names of God in the Bible is, it is revelational. Number two, it is relational. The second purpose is it is relational, because the names are the avenues of establishing a relationship with us. You know, it is through the names we can relate, and God can relate to us when we can relate to Him. God our Father, you know, God of all grace, God of all comfort in the New Testament. You know, Jehovah Shammah. Now, God is there in the Old Testament. El Roy, the God who sees, God that healeth me. You know, it is through these various names, God establishes a special relationship with His people so that we can taste and see who our God is, and we can take encouragement from that. You know, for example, I call my wife Valsa, honey, sweetheart. Sometimes even I say, call mommy. You know, that means that is what my children call her. Various names. You know, the various names through which I am relating to her. Why those various names? Because it is through those names that we enjoy that relationship with one another. And that is the same way in the Bible too. The various names reveals. It allows us to experience God in a new way. You know, that sweetheart and honey and balsa and all these are different ways through which we experience that wonderful relationship with one another. A new name for God in the Bible always establishes a new relationship. For example, my wife's maiden name was Thomas. You know, now no more Thomas, it is Kurian now. A new name. You know, for the last 31 years, a new name for her. And what is the significance of that new name? That new name has established a new relationship. You get the point. A new name for God each time is revealed in the Bible. It is that avenue through which God wants to establish a relationship with us. And we can know Him in a new dimension. So the sweetness of the names of our God. It is revelational. It is relational. And number three, it is resourceful, or it is reaching to us. The names reminds us that He is our resource. He is there for us. And He is there for us always. He is the source and resource and solution to our problems. He teaches us to look unto Him and to be saved. And He is there to rescue us in our crisis. That is why I said it is resourceful. It is reaching to us. So, how He can help us, how He can deal with us, what is His will, what is His nature, what we are supposed to do, all those things are revealed to us in His name. He reveals in names that fit our situation. A good example is Judges chapter 6 in the Old Testament. You know, there God revealed Himself in another name to Gideon. And the name was Jehovah Shalom, God our peace. Because that is what Gideon wanted. That is what Gideon needed. So a new name was given to God. That is Jehovah Shalom. So the purpose of the names of God, at least threefold: revelational, it is relational, it is resourceful, or it is reaching to us. Now, why we should study, the reasons why we should study the names of God. We have looked into, you know, the importance of the names of God, the purpose of studying the names of God, and the reasons to study the names of God. Shall we turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. There I find the first reason why it is important for us to study the names of God. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. In this very famous chapter, we have the Ten Commandments. And in verse 7 we read, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Now we have 10 commandments in chapter 20 of the book of Exodus. Only 10 commandments. Okay, specific 10 commandments. And one of those commandments focused on the name of God. And that is really surprising to me. Only 10 commandments. And, you know, in the Mosaic law, the major 10 commandments. And in one of those commandments focused on the name of God. Do not take the name of God in vain. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Do not take it in vain means do not use it as a slang, in a profane way, in a dishonoring way. Or in positively, to put it, whenever you take the name of God, you know how people take the name of God, you know, nowadays. We hear that every day. Especially in our so-called Christian country here. People know something about the name of God. And the dishonoring, profane way through which many people use it. And that is this commandment. Don't use it that way. When we use it to honor His name. Reflect upon His character. And reflect upon His greatness, His majesty. Know who He is. Don't dishonor God. Only honor Him. So, the first purpose or the first reason to study the name of God, through the names of God, we must honor God. Why should I study the names of God? In my devotions, you know, why I have been studying this, is it so that I can preach a message? I'm glad that the Lord gave me a message to preach from it. But that's not the basic purpose. The basic purpose is that Alex Kurian would be able to honor his God more and more as he learns more about the names of God. If the Lord gives that to me as a lesson, as a message to share with others, that is well and good. But more than that, I and all of us who hear me teaching this and preaching this, we all should be committed to honor the name of God. We bear His name. We are entrusted with His name. And through that name, we must honor God. That is what Peter tells in his epistle, that bearing that name Christian, we must glorify God. Taking that name, bearing that name, we must honor God. So, one of the reasons why we study the names of God is that we can honor God. Exodus 27, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. There is a second reason why we must study the names of God. We can call it the praise reason, the praise, the worship, the praise factor or the praise is reason. Psalm 8:1, a psalm of praise, which we, already read this morning. O Lord, my God, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Okay, let us read another verse from Psalm 48 and verse 10. There are so many verses in the book of Psalm in relation to God's name and how it is connected with praise and worship. Most of the psalm has some reference to the names of God. Psalm 48 and verse 10. There is a beautiful verse there in relation to the name of God and how it connects with praise and worship. Psalm 48 verse 10. According to thy name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. According to thy name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. His name is holy, His name is great, and His name is worthy of our praise and worship. So the praise factor, that is something that is echoed repeatedly in the book of Psalms. That is, we must study the names of God because of the praise factor, the praise reason. The names of God are very much associated, very much connected to the concept of praise and worship. So the more we know about the names of God, I get the impression that we are able to praise and worship Him more effectively. Don't you think so? That is the lesson that emerges from it in the book of Psalms and in other places. The praise factor, the names of God are associated with the concept of praise and worship. That means the more I know about the names of God, the more I am able to praise and worship Him more effectively. So there is the commandment to honor the name of God, Exodus 27. The praise factor as the second reason in studying the names of God, Psalm 8:1, Psalm 48:10, other verses, Psalm 75:1, 76:1. There are so many verses like that. There is a third reason which we have already touched upon, Proverbs 18:10. The protection reason, the protection of the name of God. The name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. So like a fort that gives us protection for the believer from all dangers, the names of God, are a spiritual fortress. It gives us protection, victory, provision, and healing. And we can run into His name, means we can run into His presence, to His power, and to His provisions. Do you know that? You can run into the name of God, the provisions, the promises, and the power, and the presence of God. What a wonderful truth is that. So, the three reasons which I have highlighted this morning, to study the names of God, the commandment to honor the name of God, the praise factor involved, and the protection of the name of God. And we very well know the one of the most important verses in the New Testament, Matthew 18:20. We all know that by heart. If you are not quite sure, you can turn there, Matthew 18:20. Where two or three are gathered into my name, or unto my name, there am I in their midst. And it is on the basis and authority of that verse that we have gathered together this morning. Two or three, a small group, even if it is a small group. And the important thing is not where we gather, but under whose name we gather. Whether it is in a home, a house, a rented building, a chapel, or a church, or a small room. You know, that's not the issue. The issue is we are gathering together into His name or unto His name. You know, actually, literally in Greek, it is into His name. And that is poor English. That is why they put it as where two or three are gathered together in the name. You know, it is actually into or unto His name. That means, into that name means into the authority of that name. All that that name stands for. And when we gather together under that authority, you know, His presence is there in their midst. I will just briefly touch upon the three primary names of God as we close. Then in the will of God in the future, we can continue on it. The three primary names of God in the Old Testament are, there are many names, compound names and primary names. The primary names are the most important names frequently repeated in the Old Testament. The first one is Elohim, that is the omnipotent creator God. That is what we read in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim, God Elohim. In the beginning, God there means in the beginning, Elohim, the omnipotent creator. The majestic omnipotent creator God, that is the idea, Elohim. The second primary name of God in the Old Testament is Jehovah God. That is, I am who I am, the one who is eternally present, the self-existent, eternal, covenant-keeping God. That is the significance of the name Jehovah. Now, according to Hebrew scholars and according to Jewish tradition also, nobody unto this day really knows the exact meaning of the name of Jehovah. That is why Jews, when they come to the word Jehovah, they substitute it with Adonai, because they consider Jehovah to be the holiest name, the most sacred name. And they do not prefer to take that upon their lips all the time. So I believe it was in the 10th century that when the Masoretic text, a group of Jewish Hebrew scholars, you know, when they edited the Old Testament text, they translated it in such a way that every time Jehovah comes, you have to read it as Adonai. So, because that is the most sacred name, the holiest name. It is said that in the early Jewish tradition, when the scribes, when they would transcribe, when they would, you know, copy the scriptures, they kept a separate quill, a pen for Jehovah. And with that, they won't use that quill, that pen for writing anything else. So, you know, it is considered to be the most sacred name, and the basic meaning probably would be, when we have an opportunity, we will look into all these names in detail, the self-existent, eternal God. And the third primary name of God in the Old Testament is Lord, Master. And in our English translation, most of the time, lowercase L-O-R-D, L with the uppercase and O-R-D, lowercase. That means Adonai, master. L-O-R-D, you know, in uppercase stands for Jehovah. And that is how the translators struggled to show us the difference. Okay? So, Elohim, Jehovah, Adonai, the omnipotent creator God, the self-existent eternal God, and Adonai, the master, the Lord of my life, the boss of my life. Who is your boss? Who is your master? God is the Lord of my life. Then there are many compound names of God with the L prefix, you know, with like El Elyon, El Shaddai, El Roy, etc. Then the Jehovah combination names like Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Roy, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Jireh. All those things. Primary names, Elohim, Jehovah, and Adonai. And I want to show you, as I close, one verse where all these three names are beautifully used together. Psalm 16, verse 1. Psalm 16, verse 1. Preserve me, O Elohim. If you want to write it there sometime, that would be good. Because the three primary names are used by David in the first two verses of Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, there is Elohim. For in you I put my trust, verse 2, O my soul, you have said to Jehovah, thou art my Adonai. How about that? Isn't it beautiful? Preserve me, O Elohim, for in thee I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, there means Jehovah, you are my Adonai. So, it is not only we, David also knew that his God has revealed himself in various names, and David knew that he should take that seriously in his life. It ministers grace, blessing, provision, protection, sweetness, and forgiveness to him. So, you know, a beautiful psalm, Psalm 16. Preserve me, O Elohim. You are my majestic, omnipotent God. You can protect me. You can preserve me. You can keep me. For in thee I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to Jehovah, the eternal, self-existent, covenant-keeping God, you are my Adonai, my master. What a beautiful verse, where the three primary names are used by David. And I hope and pray that in the days to come, as we ponder more on the names of God, and, you know, even during these days, as you go back into the scriptures and reflect upon the names of God, that it may bring healing, it may bring salvation, it may bring joy, it may bring comfort, and it may bring all the blessings we need in our life to know who our God is and to amend our life in accordance with what He wants us to do. And that would be a wonderful exercise in which we will be able to know more about who our Heavenly Father is. My Father's names, and I'm glad He has many. And each time He tells me, I ask Him, what's your name, Dad? He tells me different names. That's funny. He tells me different names so that I may know Him, who He is, more and more, and enjoy Him, and walk with Him, and love Him, and serve Him. Let us pray. Loving God, our gracious Father, we thank Thee that our Heavenly Father has revealed Himself to us in various names. Above all, we thank Thee for the greatest of all revelation that has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, that sweet and wonderful name, the name Jesus Savior. We pray that if there is anyone here tonight, today, who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, that person may be able to trust Him as his or her Savior even this afternoon. We thank Thee for our time together in worship, in remembrance, and in study of Thy Word. Pray that the various names of God which we have considered may bring comfort and consolation and blessing to our hearts, and help us to walk with Thee and love Thee and to serve Thee in the best way possible in the days to come. We pray that all what we have discussed and studied and have meditated this morning may be a great encouragement and a great consolation and blessing to us. We commit our ways to Thee and ask Thee to keep us and watch over us and help us to live for Thy glory, to meet us in our needs and lead us in Thy will and path and for Thy glory. We ask this prayer with our thanksgiving and worship in and through the most exalted name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.